Appointment Ministries Podcast Network. Strength for today's pastor. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Strength for Today's Pastor, a resource designed to strengthen you, the senior or lead pastor of your church. Here's your host, Bill Holdridge. Bill is the director of Poyman Ministries, which is a team of former longtime senior pastors who are available to strengthen pastors, to strengthen churches.
Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor. This is a program hosted by Poyman Ministries, and I am Bill Holdridge, the host of today's program. With me, we have Pastor Bob Claycamp. Bob has served in pastoral ministry as a lead or senior pastor for many years. He served for 29 years in Calvary Chapel, North Phoenix, and then joined the team of Poyman Ministries pastors in 2010 and been serving as a missionary representing Poyman Ministries and pastoring a fellowship in Exeter in the UK since 2013. And Bob is known as a man who knows how to develop and identify future leaders. So we're excited about him coming back for the second session on this particular subject, which is how to identify future leaders. Last time, we talked about spiritual leadership and how to identify it, not from without necessarily, but that God has brought these men into our churches. So how to look for them, how to identify them, and then how to use from those identification parameters that we use, how to actually bring them into different areas of leadership. But thank you, Bob, for joining us again today. It's great to have you.
Yeah, it's great. Great to be a part of this. This is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. And it's such an important subject because most senior pastors, lead pastors, are looking for more leaders. Maybe they're not looking in the right places. Maybe they're overlooking some of the great candidates that are actually already in their church. Maybe they don't really know how to develop leaders or how to identify future leaders. So in the last program, we got a good start on all of that. So as we dive in today, Bob, tell me a little bit about what you think about when you think about developing leaders. Who are these leaders? What leadership roles are they looked at for?
Well, when I consider the need to pass down ministry to other men, because I don't want to do it all myself, I first of all take a look at those who are with me, those who are available. I look at their heart to want to be willing to learn and receive instruction. I look for those who are just serving in volunteer positions because they love people, they express the joy of the Lord, their sound and their theology. They're attending the prayer meetings, they're involved. And so the next step is to really spend some time with them and put together, like every week or every 2 weeks, a meeting with them and their wives and pull them all together and take them through some leadership books as a base of discussion. Of course, along with books of the Bible like 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus and other character studies of leaders in the Bible. But that forms a foundation to communicate on basic situations that happen in leadership. I'm not saying you're taking this class or this is going to make you an elder. I'm just saying, listen, I see God doing some deeper things in your life, and I want to be a part of that. And so would you be willing to meet with my wife and I every week or two and with some other folks here in the church? And let's see what the Lord might want to do in your life. And I would value your input on things in the church as well.
So you said something that intrigued me. You talked about how that before you started this process of looking for leaders, you made a decision, I don't want to be doing it all by myself. How important is it for the senior pastor to make that decision?
That's a decision that has to be made at the beginning, because when you're starting a church, let's say you start from the beginning where you're opening your home and you're starting a home Bible study in a new area, you are doing everything essentially yourself. You have to. But then as people begin to gather together, then you start sharing and sharing the responsibilities and saying, could you help me out here? Just an invitation rather than expecting them to do something, but inviting them to come along with you as you do different things. Even if you're just going to get coffee for the church, or you're going to go to a hospital to visit somebody, take somebody who seems to be a little more having a servant's heart and willingness just to come along with you. And it's in those times that you get to hear their heart a little more. But it does take time.
And it starts with that decision that the senior pastor makes, I'm not going to do it all myself, right? So if a senior pastor doesn't make that decision, then he's going to continue his unhealthy pattern of doing most things himself. But it also involves, doesn't it, Bob, it involves that senior pastor saying no to things that he could be doing, but others should be doing. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's not my role.
Yeah, and sometimes the people see the pastor doing everything, and so they think, why should I step in? I don't want to interrupt what he's doing. And so you actually communicate a bit of a reality that they're not needed.
Yeah, and that's, of course, not the intention of the pastor, but that's inadvertently what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Well, another thing that intrigued me as you've been talking, you said, I don't want to do it all myself, so I need leaders. If we're going to grow this thing, if the Lord's going to grow it, we need leaders. We need a team. But you also said, I see men within the church. So that tells me that you've been looking.
Yes, always looking. Always looking. And I mean, when somebody new comes in, it's not like you want to just attach to them, but you just wait and watch from a distance. And, you know, in the conversation, in the times together, in the events, and over time, you see that they really seem to have a heart for what's going on. They're excited. They're, you know, good folks that maybe the Lord's going to go deeper. I mean, part of it is the Holy Spirit witnessing to your heart that there's something deeper going on in the person's life.
Right. So as you move more into that person's life and understanding who they are, then you're looking at things like their marriage and their family and how they handle their finances and what their deeper character is and how their reputation is in the community, these kinds of things. You're getting to know the man.
Yeah. And that's why Paul says what he does in Timothy about, you know, a man's witness, character witness, has to be blameless. And that is something that you can only tell over time.
So you've got a group assembled. Say you've identified three or four guys, maybe five or six guys, and you're starting to meet with them regularly. How often do you think it's important to meet with these potential leaders, and in what ways do you meet with them?
Well, I think because you're interested in developing them over a long period of time, I think every 2 weeks is probably the maximum time. Every week would be great, but life doesn't always work that way. And if you meet every 2 weeks, then it gives them space to go and live out, you know, their lives and their commitments. But every 2 weeks, I've done this for years, every 2 weeks gathering together, they look forward to it, and we meet in each of their homes, and just so that they can have a chance to host it and kind of get a feel of serving the rest of them. And even in a 9-month program where you're meeting twice a week, the cohesiveness of that group is amazing. I mean, by the 2/3 of the way through, they go, this is wonderful. We look so forward to this. And then you start hearing, gosh, this has happened so much. You start hearing fellows saying, you know, is it possible that God could actually use me to teach a Bible study? But I'm scared to death to do that. And then you go, well, let's try something. Why don't you prepare just a short devotional, just from a section, and let's get together and share it with us. And so you're encouraging them all along the way.
It sounds so simple, but it sounds so deliciously relational. I love it. So you're not just meeting with them going through books. You're giving them opportunities within the context of the group over 9 months. What else might you do with this potential candidate for leadership?
Well, what I like to do is when we have an event coming up at the church, I want to say, okay, this is going to be our event. We as a team are going to put this together from start to finish. Because part of it is just I want them to understand all that goes on behind the scenes when an event in the church takes place. It's not just showing up and then enjoying it and leaving. There's all this work behind the scenes, and they need to understand just how much goes on from start to finish. And then in that whole process, you also get to see something about their character, how they deal with challenges, how they deal with pushback from other people. And, you know, you get to see a little bit of how their character comes out.
So putting on events, you include them, you use your team to help you form the event. Any other ways outside of your biweekly meeting that you are going to connect with these men?
Sometimes I meet with them, I take them out to coffee. I take the husband and wife out to dinner and with my wife and I, and we just talk and just, you know, be vulnerable and just share our lives with them and want to hear about their lives and pray with them, spend time praying with them. And I remember one fella, I said, you know, it seems like God's doing something in your life. What do you think the future holds spiritually for you? And to have the fella tell me, ever since I was a little boy, I saw myself as pastor of a small community church. And I told, he was in charge of a grocery store with 49 employees at the time. He was managing the whole store. And I said, no, are you kidding? I mean, how about a metropolitan area? You know, you have more of a chance to grow. And he goes, no, it's a small town, a small church, and I was pastoring them. And I said, well, okay. And you know what? That fella is pastoring a Calvary Chapel in Clark Fork, Idaho, in the tip corner, and he's still there now. And he's doing a wonderful job. It's just, it's amazing just to see the beginnings of that and then fostering it and then helping them through the, you know, let's test this, let's check it out, let's pray through it, things like that.
The whole process really is helping that man identify and confess what the Spirit's been doing in him for perhaps a long time.
Yeah, and sometimes they've been afraid to say it because it sounds so radical, sounds so silly. But, you know, in these group gatherings, you have this dynamic of trust and openness and people sharing their challenges. And sometimes when you have an agenda for the night, and then a couple comes in and they have a crisis that's happening in their life, you throw the agenda away and you go and minister to them and everybody that, you know, that's what you do, because it shows ministry isn't just form. It is, you know, dynamic. It is real life, and you have to be willing to change gears and shift and take care of the real need.
I love the picture you're painting, Bob. It's a picture of a highly relational, team building, organic, let's do this together, let's grow together, let's discover what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. This isn't a classroom, this isn't a seminary, it's life, it's life instruction.
Yeah.
Well, you know, beyond that, beyond the meeting and beyond you meeting with them as a couple and the other things that you've mentioned, you're going to be exposing something of yourself as well. What are your thoughts on how vulnerable should you, as the leader of leaders, be in helping develop them as leaders?
I think that has to happen by layers. I think that it's not safe to just dump all of the issues upon someone that you don't know that well. I think that as you share maybe a particular challenge that's going on in your life, you kind of see how they respond to that. And over time, it's important to see, does it reciprocate? I mean, do they open their life to you, or are they very closed? Because if they're closed and they're not opening their life to you as you open your life to them, then for some reason there's a block. And I think you need to be a bit careful in the vulnerability.
Just take it at the right time. Don't rush it.
You just have to kind of pace it out a bit. The team of leaders that we've had, and you know, to me, leaders aren't just elders. Leaders are those in the church that just seem to have a real heart for the fellowship and a real sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and how they serve the body. And, you know, I first of all address people as leaders before I ever make an appointment for an elder, because they have to have shown that character over a long period of time before I'll even appoint someone to be an elder.
Part of that character has to do with how they respond to each other in your times together, how they respond to you when you open yourself up by layers. Well, as you open yourself up and as these layers of your own life are being peeled back for them, it seems to me like that would be very helpful for them to know that our pastor, the leader of leaders in this church, he's a human being and he has to wrestle through the same issues that we do.
Well, that's true. And I think trust is such an important aspect in a leadership team. When trust starts breaking down, it doesn't matter what you do. It's all looked at through slanted eyes in, you know, kind of scrutinizing really what's the real thing. And it's almost you can't win when there's leaven that has set in the heart for some reason, or distrust, and there's no communication, then everything starts unraveling really fast. Trust, it takes a long time to build and can be broken and destroyed in a moment.
So as this trust is developing among the guys that you're working with, they're starting to open up their hearts a little bit more toward one another, maybe a lot. So what are you watching as you observe the other guys as they respond to a man opening up his heart?
Well, one of the things I look for is how do they tell others about what's going on? Or do they keep quiet? Do they hold confidences? Because the things that happen in that team are only supposed to be held within that team. But do I find out that they're talking about them to others? If a person can't hold confidences, surely you don't want to, you know, be revealing a lot of vulnerable things about your own life, because then it gets embellished as time goes on. If somebody crosses them, how do they talk about the person to other people? And how many people do they tell? Because that reveals a level of integrity or lack of integrity. And so you just have to watch and see.
That's so solid. So here's a guy who opens his heart, and then the other guys on the team, they keep it quiet. So that's a good thing. You're strengthened and encouraged by their response. What about in the response to that brother in the meeting? You know, is there anything you're looking for as the other guys are seeking to respond to him? What are key points there?
Well, I'm looking for how they pray for them. You know, when we stop and say, you know, let's take some time and pray for you because we need to see you, help you through this. And then just listening to the prayers of the other fellas, how they're praying for him, what happens afterwards. Do they say, hey, you know, let's get together for coffee, let's talk. Here's my number. I mean, you know, if I see some interaction going on, that's encouraging. But if I see kind of a stone wall where it's like, oh gosh, this guy's messed up, I don't want to have much to do with him, then that's a red flag for me.
Yeah, it's the proverbial beam in my eye, speck in their eye.
Yeah.
So you're looking for grace. You're looking to see how much grace they have for not only themselves, but how much grace they have towards others as well. So important.
Yeah. And because the wives are part of the meeting as well, and I want the wives in there because I want them to understand the whole heart of being in ministry. If they're going to go deeper in ministry, the wives need to be on the same page with the husband. And sometimes in these groups, we also kind of get an idea of where the wife's coming from. And wow, I mean, I've had some sessions where it's just kind of taken my breath away because it's not what I expected. And it, you go, boy, there's going to be a lot of work needed here. I can tell right now. But that's the only way you can really find out is to be in those settings.
Well, you know, we just have to look at Jesus working with his disciples. He must have been saying the same things. There's a lot of work that has to be done here. And it's true.
Yeah, no wonder he prayed all night before he picked the 12.
Right. And that's true of all of us. I mean, no matter how long we've been in ministry, we're still a work in progress. We're still sort of a...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We're all trophies of grace.
We are trophies of grace. Well, you know, you've got a team of leaders now. You identified them. They've been proven. They've been involved in different areas of leadership. Maybe you're able at this point to ordain a couple of them as elders, maybe a couple of them as deacons, maybe others as leaders of ministries. What are you looking for then in the ongoing?
Well, what I like to do, if I'm considering someone to step into a future elder role, then occasionally I will invite them to be a part of our elder board meeting just as an advisor, asking for his input. You know, we're going to be talking about some ideas and some decisions, and we'd like your input on some of this, and invite them in. But what I'm watching for is the chemistry between that potential elder and the rest of the team that's there. If I find that the guy is real, like a bull in a china shop, strong opinions, you know, it's very black and white in how things are done, and he really doesn't gel that well with the leadership team we have, then it gives me a clue to just kind of back off and not rush with this fella. And so that's usually my process in raising up a future elder, is to have them occasionally be a part of the team as an advisor. Don't give them a title, and then just see how it functions and to see if the input is valuable and see if there's sensitivity and grace in the whole thing and faith.
Yeah, all the above. So as he's sitting in on the meeting as an advisor, he's doing a lot of listening. You're probably watching to see how much listening he's doing rather than speaking, I would imagine.
Yeah. And just, you know, when a wild idea comes up from somebody else, you know, how do they react to it? Do they understand that we're the pendulum's going everywhere in different ideas, but then the pendulum is supposed to like settle down and find, okay, what's the heart of the Lord in this? We can all have ideas, but let's seek the Lord and find it. And they're learning at the same time just how the leadership works within the church.
Yeah, so, you know, they're part of that meeting. They're learning, they're observing themselves, but maybe every once in a while they come up with what they think is the idea of the century, and this is going to be the idea that everybody should listen to. So they present their idea, and it's met by the rest of the group with indifference, or maybe even they don't like it, or they don't think it's a good idea. What are you looking for then in that potential elder candidate?
It's like, how do they respond when their idea is, you know, they get pushback? If they get offended easily, man, you can't have them be in a leadership team if all their feelers are out all the time for whatever reason, because that's going to be a disaster later on, because it's all based on trust.
They have to be able and willing to present their ideas as an hors d'oeuvre on a plate of hors d'oeuvres. You take what you want.
Well, sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they don't take their hors d'oeuvre, they're okay with it. They were just doing their best in presenting a suggestion.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are key things. So you can, like Yogi Berra said, the famous New York Yankee catcher, he said, you can observe a lot just by watching. So you can observe a lot just in the context of seeing how guys handle themselves in these situations.
And again, all this takes time. I mean, I know the pressure is great to raise up leaders. I got to get somebody to help me. I'm going crazy. I'm doing everything. But you just got to hold back and be patient. Because if you put somebody in a position and they're not ready, it's crazy trying to sort it out. And it just doesn't usually end well.
I've heard of guys say, I won't lay hands on somebody to be an elder until they've served for 5 years. And I've heard others say, you know, I like to get it done as quickly as possible. What's your, I know you can't answer this definitively, but what is your idea about the length of time, start to finish? I identify a man who definitely has characteristics that are helpful and you think might have leadership potential. From that start to the time when, say, you're willing to say, okay, you're going to be the head of this ministry, or you're going to be a deacon or an elder. What do you think is a normal period of time?
I just think it differs with each individual. If somebody comes from another church, especially another Calvary Chapel, since we are Calvary Chapels and we have a particularly distinctive in how we operate in our church government and how we function. Still, I want to wait and see. I want to wait several months because not everybody comes to every service every time. I mean, it takes time. And gosh, I just hesitate to put a time frame on it because sometimes the need is there, they're available, and you have to do something. And you just say, hey, could you handle this for me? I just, there's no way I can do it. And you have enough of a sense that they have a good spiritual head on their shoulders, you might say. And you just give them like a one-off responsibility and just see how it goes. If it goes really badly, at least the collateral damage is small. You know, and you just start small and you prove them over little things and you see how it goes.
Well, like we say, you know, it's easier to hire someone than it is to fire someone. So you're right. I think your ambiguity about the answer is the exact right answer, Bob. I like it. Yeah. We have to wait on the Spirit and watch lives and see what God is doing in a life.
Yeah. I'm not so good on time programs. I mean, we do a 9-month thing because we leave the summer open. Basically, we go from September to May and then leave the summer open because people are traveling and doing all that. But that was the whole reason for the 9-month time period of what I call a ministry development team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Well, amazingly, Bob, we're already out of time for today's podcast. And this has been helpful. Thank you so much for sharing some of your thoughts and your experiences over the years. A lot of years of ministry, a lot of ways of learning. I imagine some of this you had to learn the hard way.
Oh, yeah.
But thanks for sharing with us. This has been great. This is the second session of 2 that we've done on the subject of how to identify future leaders. Sound wisdom from the scriptures, sound wisdom from years of pastoral experience from Pastor Bob Claycam, one of the team members of Poimen Ministries. Appreciate you, Bob, and thanks again for joining us.
That's wonderful. God bless you.
Yeah, and God bless you all for listening today. And please, if you didn't get a chance to listen to the first of these 2 podcasts, go ahead and go back and grab that one if you want. But may the Lord bless you as He uses you to lead His church. In Jesus' name.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poimen Ministries. You can find us at poimenministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or desire to connect with us, or if you have a comment or a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. Until we meet again, may you continue to be a strengthened pastor. Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poimen Ministries. You can find us at poimenministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or desire to connect with us, or if you have a comment or a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. Until we meet again, may you continue to be a strengthened pastor.